Ivanation Sports Talk up and rolling on a Tuesday. That means he's Jesse Stiers. I'm Sean Stiers. Glad to have you here, Jesse. The bar has been set high right away. Joe,
what did you guarantee?
I did. I don't think I promised anything yesterday. I think I asked before. I don't think I said anything yesterday. People know it's Tuesday. You know, it's people just know. People know.
We had the bye week last week, so I was on bye.
You were on. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's been a couple of weeks since you had a whiteboard. So, I mean, Brent was in here last night, ready to call you out for Cowboys and everything else. We'll just push that to the end. Get that out of your mind. Purge it. I know I want to purge it. I'm just glad I didn't have to watch it the other night. But Joe expecting whiteboard. Andre came in with college football playoff talk right away. We're going to save that for rapid fire. We will have plenty of that. Vince and I made our college football playoff predictions for what we think is going to happen tonight. I think, and I forgot to look today to confirm this, Vince said the rankings don't come out until 8:30 tonight. Do you know if they're doing it at halftime of the Kansas-Michigan State game? Is that why they're waiting until 8:30?
That's what they, I know that they usually,
they've done it in the past. When they have a basketball game on, they'll do it at halftime of the basketball game. And the Kansas, actually, it'll probably be at the end of the Kansas Michigan State game because it actually starts at 6:30. So even better for me, I'll finish the show. I'll go watch basketball and we'll just lead in right into college football playoff rankings later tonight. So we're golden, Pony Boy. Andre's big on Pearl Jam. I'm happy. I got my Pearl Jam shirt on tonight. I was rocking to Pearl Jam when Jesse came into the back room tonight. I'm sure he had no idea who I was listening to. He just knew that there was music there.
That is correct. I just did confirm 8:30.
Okay. Well, I knew it was 8:30. I just didn't like the timing, like why 8:30. That's why, because they got Kansas, Michigan State as a great lead in for that.
I heard Kansas is going to lose this time. They flirted with North Carolina.
Crazy game. Was it Saturday? Or was it – when was that? Man,
Friday.
Merged together. It would have been Friday because Saturday I was at a football game, obviously. Yeah. Almost blew a 20-point lead against North Carolina before they finally held on and won that thing. So I was very excited about that. We'll see. It seems like they always play Michigan State anymore, but in these preseason events.
The guys, I just have to get this off my chest real quick. There's this guy that's been shown up to work on our house, and he shows up around 5 o'clock every night, and that's just about when it's getting dark these days.
Uh-huh.
And he goes till about 10 p.m. And this is like the fourth day in a row of this guy being here. So if you hear the animals barking in the background, they're very angry.
So what is he doing? Like, why is he
fixing stuff on, like downspouts, roof drains?
Oh, so he's working out there. So the dogs are going. So last week we had the cat meowing because you were starving him, and now the dogs are going to go crazy.
Because they're going to hear him rumbling around in the driveway.
Okay.
Disclaimer.
All right. Well, thanks for that. Thanks for the upfront notice. Before we go any further, I do want to tell you about my bookie, the one sports book that's got your back with no fluff, no second guessing. It's all just straight up action and you in total control, because at my bookie, it's never been about guessing. It's about giving you the edge so that every bet that you place comes with confidence and a plan. If you know football and you love to win, what are you waiting for? My bookie was made just for you. And if you're new, step it up. Use our promo code Irish. It'll double your bankroll with 100% deposit bonus right from the jump. So that's more money, more power to make winning plays. Bet anything, anytime, from anywhere with my bookie, the sports book that gives you control and rewards for every moment.
Did you have a winning bet over this weekend? Did you place any bets this weekend?
I did, and I lost them both. Fortunately, they were both small bets. I made a couple of parlays. You know what my biggest flaw was? I actually had confidence in that guy in Baton Rouge.
Really?
Yeah. Yep. Again, it was a small bet, so it's not like I had a lot of confidence, but I parlayed it with something else, and I just – did you know that he had never lost a home night game?
Oh, I heard by the time
in Baton Rouge and before that,
by the time game day went through it, and by the time ESPN went through it, I was well aware of his home record under the lights with LSU.
It's part of why I had the confidence, and that included a win over Nick Saban at home 2 years ago. So
you got caught in the classic dilemma of, say you're playing roulette and it's red like 10 times in a row. Everyone's like, oh, it's got to be black, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, or sorry, it's got to be red. Well, it's still a 50-50 shot at the end of the day.
Yep.
I had a nice reason why I brought this up. I used my bookie for the first time, and my first bet was Georgia Tech money line, and they did not let me down against Clemson this weekend. So I had a pretty solid weekend coming off that Georgia Tech win.
Salty makes a great point. Big game, pretty much a playoff elimination game, as we said in rapid fire last week, but BK lived right up to his track record, lost another big game. So is what it is at this point. Don't call me daughter, Hyperion returns. Don't call me daughter. All right.
Oh, there's Henry. Do you see him?
Jesse gets that reference just as much as Vince would have gotten that reference. So, oh, there he is. There's Henry in the corner. Now he's gone again. All right. I do want to mention before we get into, you know, some of the stuff that we're going to talk about, condolences, obviously, to the family of Jerry Faust, the former Notre Dame head football coach, passed away at the age of 89. Just unheard of, even at the time when he was hired in 1981, hired straight from Cincinnati's Moeller High School, where he was dominant at Moeller High School, 174 wins, 17 losses in 18 seasons there. He won state championships in five of his last six seasons, going 70-1 at that time. Wrote a letter, came in, sold his love for Notre Dame. And I think that that's what everyone, hopefully at this point, 40-plus years later after he was fired, and obviously the Lou Holtz era began after Jerry Faust was fired, his love for Notre Dame is what carried him. You know, guys like Harry Oliver, Tony Hunter, Bob Crable, among the players who developed under Jerry Faust. So thoughts to his family. Jerry Faust, one of it, like, he's a guy, you know, I got here to Notre Dame. It's been 24 years since I got here, and he would always still show up in the press box. You'd always see him at Notre Dame home games at Notre Dame Stadium up there because he loved Notre Dame so much. That never died for Jerry Faust. Just a great guy. Up. Oh, what? Throwing your backdrops in there.
I was messing around for a second.
So let's start with a little Marcus Freeman. We're going to talk about Jeremiah Love and Jadarian Price here in a minute. Got a few comments from Marcus Freeman on today's show. I wanted to start with this one on the confidence that he has in his team right now.
There's a lot of confidence. I think there's a lot of confidence. I'm confident. This team is confident. But I also know that, you know, with success can creep in complacency, you know, and that's what keeps me up at night, is that, you know, where's the fine line, like, from being confident and in complacency being able to creep in. That's the thing that I sit behind my desk and think about all the time, is about, okay, where can we find ways to get better? I want them to enjoy success. Like, I don't want Notre Dame, our football program, to be a place that's miserable after you have a great win like we did. But there's also a part of me that, you know, I want to be greedy. Like, this isn't good enough. This isn't the standard. We got to attack and we got to fix it. Great job. You guys played well on Saturday. I'm proud of you guys. Great job. But here's what we got to focus on and improve. And so confidence is good. We have a lot of confidence, but we also know there's a lot of room for improvement.
I mean, you listen to him, and I don't know if necessarily they're their biggest enemy, but at the same time, it's like they definitely, I think Vince and I talked about this in the Countdown show, like, it's Notre Dame against itself, it feels like, the rest of the way, doesn't it?
Oh, 100%. They are the more talented. They're going to outmatch every opponent that's remaining on their schedule. It's just a matter of, can they stay out of their own way in terms of turnovers, you know, penalties, stuff that you can ultimately kind of control at the end of the day. So I love that Marcus Freeman started answering that question by saying confidence like 50 times in a row, it felt like, or confident 50 times in a row. I feel like it's one of those things where he's kind of like speaking it into existence, the confidence, the confidence, the confidence. And I guarantee you after that NIU loss, and like he said, that's something that keeps him up all the time, because if you have another one of those, I mean, there are going to be a lot of people very upset with you, right? Fan base.
Absolutely.
So I understand where he's coming from, and it's probably, you know, one of the harder aspects as a head coach is beating a team, a bad team, how you're supposed to beat a bad team, no matter what level you're at, college, NFL, peewee, high school, you know, travel. I mean, that was the biggest challenge that I faced during my travel baseball days, is we would play really well in these tournaments against the really good teams, but we'd always shoot ourselves in the foot by losing to a really bad team early in round robin play. And then we'd have, you know, we'd have to go against some of those better teams early on in single elimination, and we'd win a couple or we'd lose a close game. You'd be like, guys, why are we doing this to ourselves by putting ourselves in this spot? And it's like, it's one of the hardest things to do, I feel like, as a head coach, but I've seen progress, you know, since the NIU game. And really I haven't felt that letdown, I guess, as of yet.
You've had Wendy's nugs dipped in sauce, but have you had them covered in sauce? Wendy's new saucy nugs takes the crispy and spicy nugs that you love and turn them up to 11. Choose between flavors like buffalo, honey barbecue, garlic parm, or if you're a real heat seeker, try spicy ghost pepper only on Wendy's signature spicy nugs. I dare you. That's 7 delicious ways to try the nugs you already love. Pick a flavor, grab some extra napkins, and prepare to nug like you've never nugged before. For a whole new way to nug, it's gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Light it.
Hey, Irish Breakdown listeners, it's Urban Meyer. This fall, the game changes. Join me, Heisman Trophy winner Mark Ingram, and broadcaster Rob Stone as we bring you a new perspective on football and culture every week. We will be joined by the biggest name in sports and talk about everything inside and outside of the lines. Let us guide you through a new era of college football. Watch Triple Option on YouTube or listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get podcasts.
Kind of felt like they were shaking off a little rust maybe in the first half, you know, against Florida State Saturday night. But when
coming off bye week.
I mean, you're coming off a bye week. That's what I mean. It's like, you know, there's maybe, especially when you've got two bye weeks that close together like that, like the first one, you probably need that rest a little bit more after you've played, what, 5-6 games or whatever it was at that point. It's like you need that rest, and then you play those next three games, and it's kind of, you know, like start, stop, and the whole thing. But obviously by the time the night was over, things look pretty dominant. I mean, Marcus Freeman's got a lot of things that he can be happy about. He's got a quarterback who's obviously playing really well right now. He's got a couple of running backs who are playing really well right now. He's got an elite defense that's been playing lights out all season. And speaking of which, where they are right now, number 12 in the nation scoring offense, number 3 scoring defense in the nation. Not a lot of teams in the country can boast having both sides of the ball playing at that level at this point in the season.
I didn't know that. I don't want to hear that sometimes, you know, but it is. It's for us to have success, for us to reach our full potential, as you guys love to hear me say, it's going to take being balanced. It's going to take being balanced on each side of the ball. All right. On offense, we got to be balanced in terms of run game and pass game. Defensively, we got to continue to improve stopping the run. We got to be great in our pass game, and special teams has to add into it too. But great teams are balanced. Great teams. It's hard for me to believe that there's a team that's number one in the country in offense, but terrible on defense, and they're going to win a national championship, right? It's hard for me to believe you're great on defense, but you're off on offense. Like, you need to be balanced and have complementary football to truly have success.
Not that the season started horribly, obviously, with a win over Texas A&M. I mean, you knew you had two, you know, really good teams going at it there, but, you know, especially like when you looked at the first 2 weeks of the season, would you have thought that where they are right now, we would see both sides of the ball popping the way they are right now here in early November?
I would say I would have confidence in the defense, but I can't parlay that with my confidence with the offense. I feel like the offense I felt good about, and I felt like as long as they were, you know, like a top 30, top 25-ish, they'd stand a chance with the defense that they have. But being kind of on the cusp of that top 10 this into, you know, this part of the season, I would say that has, you know, pleasantly caught me off guard. And another thing I would say is, you know, I was texting some friends over the weekend during the Notre Dame game, and one of my friends texted me and said, man, Notre Dame is just so boring to watch. And I was like, I mean, and this is a guy who just loves the spread offense and let's throw the ball everywhere and, you know, passing yards and passing touchdowns. And I was like, listen, man, I know it's not sexy, but like, you got to be able to run the ball. And I think running the ball and having an efficient running game is more important in big games than having a passing game. Because I think everyone can pass at the college level to a degree, right? I think what separates you is, can you actually have a dynamic running game that you can rely on to control time of possession? And even if you're not scoring, you're moving the ball, you're wearing down a defense, and you're flipping, you know, field position while at the end of the day. And, you know, as much as it pains me to say, I also alluded to, you know, you got to look at what did Michigan do to win their championship last year? They had a really good defense. They had a really, really deep running game between two running backs. And they had a quarterback, honestly, who all he had to do was complete some passes when needed, right? And I think Notre Dame is following kind of like that template that Michigan kind of set last season of, again, really good defense, deep running game, and a quarterback who might not wow you with his arm, but he can make the play when it's needed.
And a still dynamic runner at quarterback as well, which is a big difference from what Michigan had.
Right, and that also just adds another layer of, if it comes down to Riley Leonard needing to make a play, he doesn't have to just rely on his arm. He can use his legs as well. And I personally enjoy that security blanket at the quarterback position. When things are breaking down, you have a young offensive line, quarterback can just pull trigger and get the heck out of there, right? So that's another layer that I don't think Michigan quite had last season.
Man, we've got this whole Pearl Jam Nirvana thing raging in the chat going on there right now. Salty says that Vetter says it's BS that Kurt Cobain couldn't stand Pearl Jam. People just misinterpreted stuff Cobain said when he was in one of his moods. I've heard a lot of different stuff just in the last few weeks, different podcasts that I've listened to. And apparently they kind of patched it up, you know, toward the end. But I also literally just over the weekend when I was driving back and forth from West Lafayette, heard an interview with Courtney Love, who was, of course, Kurt Cobain's wife. And she says that Cobain forbade her from listening to the song Jeremy, you know, Pearl Jam's first big hit. She was not allowed to listen to Jeremy because it ran that deep. But anyway, complete sidetrack. We'll stay off the, you know, the Pearl Jam Nirvana, you know, music clash, and we'll try to keep it with football. Brent, though, says that he is in Pacific Grove, California, there in the Monterey Bay, waiting for an Uber. You know what to do. Go find a little companions. And Brent, by the way, yes, Army is the number one scoring defense in the nation. A little over 10 points a game they're allowing right now. So you want to talk some running backs, Jesse? That's what we're here for.
I mean, it's my favorite part about the Notre Dame offense.
They are number 12 in the nation right now, averaging over 214 rushing yards per game. Jeremiah Love's averaging 5.9 per carry. Jadarian Price averaging 7.3 per carry. I think, you know, like where we are right now, Love with 583 rushing yards, you know, even early in the season, splitting the carries with Jadarian Price, you know, like Love almost 6 yards per carry. That's pretty healthy. It's good stuff. But I think we still kind of thought, okay, so he's pushing 600 right now. Well, I think he's still a little probably behind the pace most of us envisioned for him this season, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I mean, he's right now around 600 yards. I thought pure rushing yards, he come close to 1,000, but it's not a number that I thought he would necessarily eclipse. And I think another thing you have to factor into this whole equation is Riley Leonard. He's still a guy that runs the ball a good amount, has a lot, you know, has a good contribution towards the team, you know, total rushing yards and all that stuff. So
Leonard's actually leading the team in rushing right now with over 600 yards.
Right. So if you remove Riley Leonard, which is a huge, you know, variable from the equation, then those numbers would obviously be, you know, a little bit more inflated. So it just has to do with, are you efficient with your carries? And when you have guys who are going for 6 yards a carry and 7.3 yards a carry, that's the number you ultimately want to look at. Maybe not total yards. How effective are they being? Are they utilizing their carries? And then also, are they getting in the end zone? And between both these guys, they have like 14 touchdowns in 9 games. Like, that's good utilization, in my opinion.
Right. And again, like when you combine them, even though we're talking more about the running backs, you know, like when you combine that with the fact that Leonard has 13 rushing touchdowns and then the two-headed, you know, dynamic duo of Love and Price, like you said, have combined for 14. That's some pretty nice 30 rushing touchdowns so far this season through 9 games. Henry's loving it. Henry's just eating it all up right now. Has the two-pronged approach, like, has it looked like what you thought it might look like after they lost Audric Estime from last year?
No, honestly, I thought that we'd see more. I thought we'd see more carries overall for both guys. I think that is attributed to, though, you know, how good Riley Leonard has been.
Leonard being in the mix, yeah.
I don't think we knew what degree that he was going to be good, but I did expect them to have a few more touches per game, I think, is ultimately where I would be, you know, if I had to really kind of deep dive into the thing. I just expected them to get more overall touches. And to be quite honest with you, I didn't think Aeneas Williams or whoever the third string back would be would get the amount of touches that they would as well. I think that that's kind of like the addition by subtraction is, you know, how good Riley Leonard has been and the constant kind of effort to for that third running back to see touches as well.
Yeah, and I mean, when you look at Jeremiah Love, you know, like you talk touches, he's still, like, he's got 17 receptions this year, you know, so it's what, right around just a little bit less than 2 per game, and he's got 98 carries, so he's a little over 10.5 per game, and Jadarian Price, in terms of his carries per game, is, you know, is like right around 6. I did think that Love would be more, you know, like leaning more toward the kind of carry. No, granted, they're completely different running backs, you know, so I'm not, you know, like comparing that. But I thought that he might be leaned on, you know, a bit more like they leaned on Audric Estime last year, quite honestly. But, you know, again, like, you can't argue with the production that they've gotten out of this whole thing, with Love only getting around 10.5 carries per game. I still think, you know, there are times when it could easily be closer to, you know, like 12 to 15, something in that range. And I don't think too many people would be complaining. But, you know, like the other night, he wasn't necessarily as effective. And obviously it was Jadarian Price, you know, who was kind of able to come in and pick some of that up. So I do think that they complement each other pretty well, don't you?
Yeah, I do. And kind of going back to what you're talking about, like, Audric Estime was the workhorse on offense for Notre Dame last year. And I didn't think that we'd see that quite of, you know, production out of a single runner. But right. Again, I didn't understand how if the whole running game is a pie, I didn't understand who would get what portion of the pie. But I did think that Jeremiah's Love portion would be bigger. And I thought Riley Leonard's portion would be a bit smaller, if we're being honest.
Yeah. No, and Devin makes a good point as well. Like, when you know,
that's also true.
The fact that they've sat out a lot of quarters because of the blowouts, you know, whether it's Purdue or, you know, the other night against Florida State or whoever it happens to be, you know, that has taken away from some of their carries as well. You know, like even the Navy game, excuse me, the blowout there, the Stanford game, the blowout there. So there have been a lot more opportunities for some of these other guys. You know, we've obviously got to see more of Kedron Young. We've seen more of Aeneas Williams, you know, as a result. So I think that's been, you know, really good all the way around. Did you see the tweet the other day that Dela McCullough had after?
Yeah, these are my favorite tweets of his, these running back stable talks.
When he breaks it down?
Yes.
It was, I mean, you talk about packing some information
He does one of these every game, and I love reading them.
I know. So he said, J.D. Price got his fourth breakaway touchdown of the season, bringing our running back total to 11 breakaway rush touchdowns on the season. Second most in the FBS. He says, we now have 16 rushing touchdowns on the year. And he's talking about the running backs, of course. Average distance, 28.3 yards per rushing touchdown on 16 rushing touchdowns. Think about that. You know, it's like, it's not just a like, tiptoe into the end zone or bulldoze over, you know, they're, you know, like whatever, like they're like the definition of explosive plays. These two guys, specifically the running backs, Love and Price, are the definition of explosive plays. First in the FBS, by the way, among running back rooms with at least 10 touchdown runs this season. And then McCullough said Price racked up 88 yards after contact, now averaging 5.8 after contact per carry, number one in the FBS versus Florida State. They had three receptions that all went for a first down. Neas Williams was part of that. We'll talk about him in a little bit too. Zero pass block losses as a group on 9 reps. J Love has scored touchdowns in 10 straight games. Also number one in the FBS in yards after catch or yards after contact per attempt. Stallions of the week, Dylan McCullough said. Price, Love, Williams. What do you think, Jess?
I just, first of all, I love that this is, you know, the position group that Dylan McCullough is in charge of, the running backs. And I enjoy, I think this is a great way to just like put a spotlight on your players, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's where I guess as I'm getting at is like Dylan McCullough is like the ultimate offensive coordinator, or sorry, you know, position group guy, because one, he's tremendously good at his job.
Developing the guys.
Yep. Developing the guys, his knowledge of the game, how to utilize his players in game, etc. But then after it is just kind of hyping up your guys too, right? Like I go back to high school, and it was like, I felt like one of the things our coaches weren't necessarily great at is like exposing or hyping up our players to people who might not know about them. Right. And so when you're talking about success, because that spotlight brings spotlight on the player, which is most important. It brings spotlight on Dylan McCullough as himself, because he's the guy obviously coaching these players, and it brings the spotlight on the Notre Dame offense and then the Notre Dame, you know, team in general. So I like it for that fact. I feel like it brings publicity to really how good these Notre Dame running backs are, because it's one thing to watch them in a game, but you know me, and I know you might be against stats and all that stuff. You have that crazy shirt that says I hate stats or something.
I'm not anti-stat, you know, it's just to make a point. It's to make a point, you know, like, you know, as me, as long as I did baseball, you know, like baseball is a stat heavy game there. But, you know, my point is there are more important things than stats. And there are also like there are stats that are stats, but there are also stats that matter, I guess, right? You would say.
And so we all see them on the field with these big runs and these, but like ultimately it's like, well, how does this stack up? Right. Like we don't have the time to watch every other team in the country and how their running backs are running and all that stuff. So seeing him bring all this information together and really kind of break it down and present it in a way that just, again, exemplifies how good this running back room is, I think it's awesome. And as a fan, as a viewer, as a consumer, it's, again, it's something I look forward to every week, because I'm like, man, I know that those running back numbers are going to be juiced this week. Let's see, you know, let's see how they stack up nationally.
I don't hate analytics, Ryan. I don't hate analytics. But, you know, again, like analytics can give you like some of the more important things. Now, can people lean too heavily on them sometimes? Of course, because they're, you still have to also combine it with, you know, what's upstairs, right? But, you know, like look at, like it's one thing just to say, oh, they ran for 180 yards against whoever. Okay, well, did you run for 180 yards because, you know, like they have an elite, you know, pass defense, so you're, you know, like you're taking advantage of that, or, you know, because you're, you know, you're a team that can't pay, you know, like what was your yards per carry, you know, all those different things. There's more important sort of sub numbers, situational number, like, and like, you know, again, like look at the explosive stuff that Dylan McCullough
was throwing out there, for example. 5.8 yards after contact. I think that that's a pretty telling statistic if you're going to fall on it. The average distance of the touchdown, you know, 28.3 yards. I think that's a pretty telling number.
I mean, if we're looking at, and I'm glad that you kind of brought this up, if we're looking at, you know, within those kind of numbers that were presented, the one to me are breakaway touchdowns and yards after contact. Because breakaway touchdowns, what that means is once you get to the second level, you got one of two things, or maybe both. You have elite speed, or you have an elite ability to make guys miss, mm-hmm. combined with elite speed, right? So that's an eye-popping number. And then just the yards after contact. Again, are you strong enough to get off the second level and burst through the third level? Or, you know, are you racking up 3, 4, 5 yards and then you're going down on contact essentially, right? So
right.
All of those to me show a pure level of athleticism, speed, and explosive ability. And I think that's the thing that has people most excited about Jeremiah Love, specifically NFL scouts, is just that ability to just raw speed
and
athleticism.
Like, look at Jadarian Price's touchdown run the other night. It wasn't just, hey, get to the edge and outrun everybody.
Right.
He went, you know, he went through blockers, he got through some contact, and then he got to the sideline, and then it was outrun the guy. You know, it wasn't just one or the other. There was a combination of the whole thing, you know. And again, like when you look at this stuff that McCullough is combining in there, that's exactly what he's talking about. They're not doing one or the other. They're doing all of the above, you know, both of these main guys. I mean, you can still throw Williams in there. Obviously, you know, he's not involved in that as much as possible, but especially Love and Price, they're doing all of the above. So at the press conference yesterday, I asked Love about this, or not Love, Freeman, about the load share between Love and Price and how it impacts their ability, you know, to keep hitting the big plays this late in the season, as well as their buy-in into all of this.
Yeah, it's huge. It's been great. Coach McCullough does a great job of getting those guys in that room to buy into. There is not just one guy, right? We need the entire unit. He does a great job of establishing plays or series for certain guys, but also keeping them all involved. And you know, to do that, you got to continue to establish that mindset of team glory. Like, whatever it takes for us to achieve the outcome that we want, I'm willing to do that, you know. And it's tough, man, when everything outside of our building a lot of times is about individual glory, right, about individual recognition. But really, credit goes to Coach McCullough, those guys in that room that put team first. And it keeps them, you know, every hit they don't have to take is an added hit they can take as the season goes on. And so it keeps them fresh. I think their skill sets, right, as you look back to Aldrick in that room last year to this year, like, the skill sets of those guys are different, and it's something that a defense has to account for.
It's something the defense has to account for, and it also just goes to the, you know, the versatility and the mindset that Dylan McCullough has in that room. You know, because again, like we said early in the season, man, you know, like, do we really need to keep seeing Devin Ford on third down? And it's somebody, like, we'd like to see Jeremiah Love a little bit more on third down. But, you know, part of this deal is, you know, you can coach to all these different skill sets when you are open-minded enough. And I think you see definitely a lot more of this with any coach who's going to have success and find ways to play to the strengths of all of the guys in your room and find those different roles for them. Not every coach is willing to do that. You know, there are plenty of coaches who still have very rigid, like, this is what I need you to do, regardless of what your skill set actually says you should be able to do. But that's not the way they're going about things in that room.
No, and I really liked Marcus Freeman's kind of response in terms of the defensive perspective. It's easy to prepare for, you know, basically two running backs who have the same skill set, right? Because you're not really training for anything else. But when you have two different, basically a running back, when one running back enters the game compared to the other, you know defensively that you have to schematically do different things. And I think that just adds more pressure you know, to the defense overall. So I really like, that's not the angle that I thought I would hear. And then, you know, kind of echoing some of that stuff that you were just talking about, it's like, well, it's really smart to keep these guys fresh, because the fresher they are, the more explosive they are, and that sort of stuff. And that's why we continue to see more of these, you know, breakaway runs. But it's identifying, okay, well, Jeremiah Love is really good at this, and Jadarian Price is really good at this. And so and instead of, you know, establishing a true one and two and creating drama within the room, why don't we just think of all of these running backs as one running back, right? Like, what do we need in this situation? Do we need someone to hit the perimeter and try to stretch out the defense? Do we need someone to hit, you know, in between the tackles and try to pick up a hard, you know, 3 or 4 yards? Again, I think that's the really cool part about what they've got going, is it's a three-headed monster, but all of them together is like the ideal running back, right? It's the complete kind of perfect running back. So, you know, seeing them in different aspects of the game is really cool, because again, you know that they're strategically out there. They're not just out there for a reason. They're out there for a specific, you know, what are they trying to accomplish schematically, essentially.
And I think it's interesting, you know, like this combination that they've got with Love and Price, you know, like it's not quite the level of like Nick Chubb and Sony Michel a few years back when they were at Georgia. Like, they both had over 1,000 yards, you know, in their big season together at Georgia. I mean, it's obviously not that level when you look, excuse me, at the numbers that they have. It might look a little different if you didn't have a quarterback like Riley Leonard, who, you know, as Mike Denbrock has talked about, he, and as we already talked about, Leonard's got over 600 rushing yards himself, you know, so he's obviously going to take up some of those carries. But when you look at where they are, I think that there's just so much importance to it, because you've got two highly dynamic running backs like this in Love and Price, and you haven't put that much wear on the tread to this point in the season. And now you've got 3 games left in November, and hopefully you've got a long playoff push coming in December and January as well. To this point in the season, Love has only played 271 total snaps. Price has played 155 total snaps, even though it still feels like to me it's more than 155, but that's what he's got right now. Right? So, like, when you look at a guy like Emil Wagner, the right tackle, he's played over 500 snaps, you know, so like you can kind of see where they're splitting that up. Riley Leonard has 510 snaps, and like even Bo Collins, 395, you know. But again, like, you look at Love and Price with their snap count, which is at 426 between the two of them. Ashton Jeanty, the guy from Boise State, who's leading the nation in rushing right now, do you want to take any guess as to how many snaps he's played this season?
Probably close to 600.
Not quite, just a shade under 500, 482. You know, so it's like those two combined, Love and Price, 426, Jeanty, 482. So like those two combined still don't even add up to what he's doing. You know, like the fewest that Jeanty has played, the fewest he's played is 34. The most Price has played is 38 against Georgia Tech. But again, you've got another dynamic back, so you don't have to rely, you know, lean on one guy so hard. And, you know, look, when they went out, when they were recruiting Jeremiah Love, that was a promise, a commitment they made to his mom, that they weren't just going to, you know, roll him out there and have him playing 50, 60 snaps a game and taking all that pounding and everything else, you know? So like, Jeanty's leading the nation. His team's got a chance to be in the playoffs. He might even have a chance to be a Heisman finalist, but, you know, like if you look at it big picture, one, it's best for the team right now because you're keeping a lot of guys happy and they're both more than productive in the roles that they've got. And then two, you look at the longevity, you know, looking at a pro career, you know, like what we've had this discussion before on this show, you know, just the disposable nature of running backs. Once they get to the NFL, they have one of the shortest lifespans. And, you know, like, would you rather take all your beating and your pounding when you're still in college or wait until you're getting paid? Even though I guess guys are getting paid now because of NIL, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Like, would you rather do that and give yourself a chance to have a longer pro career? It's kind of a no-brainer.
I think the important angle of this kind of conversation is, do you think that, you know, assuming everything takes care of itself, they finish 3-0, do you think that these numbers or snap counts change in the playoffs?
Like, do you start leaning on
Love and Price, whoever it happens to be.
Maybe I think, like, do you see them each have an uptick in like 5 more carries per game and less Aeneas Williams? You know what I mean? Like, do you start to see a change in the trend of usage as some of these games, you know, intensify or heighten your level of competition, what's at stake, etc.?
I mean, I would think so, because Aeneas Williams is doing a nice job of filling his role, you know, doing his job. But at the same time, like, he's a freshman. He's a developmental player. Like part of his development that he's doing right now is still more about what happens potentially next year and beyond. So like in the, you know, like, when do you want your closer in the game if you're playing baseball in the high leverage situations, right? And that's kind of what you're talking about.
Right.
You want more of your two best guys.
Think about Class A, right? And this might have backfired, and this might be not a good analogy, but in the regular season, he never pitched more than one inning. When they got to the playoffs, Class A was going against the Tigers and the Yankees 8 and 9. You know what I mean? Like, that was his job. He was the best closer in the game. Didn't really do it a lot during the regular season, but when it came down to it, you know, a couple of those Detroit games and a couple of those New York games, they were asking him to go, you know, maybe an inning and a third, maybe an inning and two thirds, maybe two full innings. I think that's what you're going to see with Love and Price, and more so. Well, I wouldn't say more so Love, because I think it's kind of game plan dependent, honestly, how their touches are kind of, you know, that formula has come up with. But I do believe that you'll see a trend in less Devin Ford, less Aeneas Williams, and more of, you know, Jadarian Price and Jeremiah Love in these high leverage situations, high leverage games. I just think it's naturally going to happen.
Again, you know, like when we were talking about it a few weeks back, when we were seeing much more of Devin Ford. And by the way, Ford, I believe it's a groin injury that he's gotten, so he's a little bit limited this week. You know, not quite sure exactly what his availability is going to be. But like, we'll go ahead and have the Williams conversation right now. I'll go ahead and play this from Marcus Freeman first, and then we'll talk a little bit about Aeneas Williams and kind of the role that he's had as well.
Yeah, progression, man. He is he is improving. He is a guy that coaches have built. He's built a lot of trust from the coaches. You know, they trust him in there in all situations, and he's making some things happen now with the ball in his hands. He was doing a good job early in the season as a freshman of getting his job done without the ball in his hands. Now he's doing some things with the ball in his hands that are impacting our offense. And so, again, it takes time, man. And he's expedited that process by the work he's put in, and he's really helping us tremendously.
PrizePicks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. PrizePicks is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Unlike other apps on PrizePicks, it's just you against the numbers. All you do is pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Get in on the daily action with your friends and become part of the PrizePicks community today. You can now win up to 100 times your money on PrizePicks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000. I'm a Bears fan, so this one gets me really excited. One Caleb Williams passing yard gets you one win on PrizePicks every week in September. That's right. Only 1 yard gets you an automatic win every football weekend in September. 4 weeks of free W's. Don't miss this deal on PrizePicks, because it's gone when September ends. Think Tyreek Hill will get more than 90.5 yards in week one? Aaron Jones runs for more than 66.5 yards? Cook up hot takes with your friends and win real money this football season when you and your crew run your game on PrizePicks. PrizePicks also has college picks all ready to go for you as well. Get in before game one hits, and you can predict how many passing yards your favorite college quarterback will hit. For me, I think Riley Leonard's going to go above 2,550.5 yards, so I'm going to take that one. And I'm going to combine it with Quinn Ewers to throw 2,999.5 yards. Put those together and bing, bang, boom, baby. I'm going to be a winner. You just wait and see. I'm coming up on my one-year anniversary of depositing my first $10, and I received an instant $10 bonus. If you have the skills, you can play for a shot at turning your $10 into $1,000. Download the Prize Picks app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code IRISH on Prize Picks for a deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, run your game.
Hey, Irish Breakdown listeners, it's Matt Leinart. I've got a podcast called Throwbacks with actor Jerry Farrar, where we'll be talking all things sports, but also so much more. We'll give you the behind-the-scenes stories from my days as the quarterback on an iconic college football team to Jerry's days as a star on an iconic TV series. So subscribe to Throwbacks on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get podcasts.
To your point, you said you'd rather see more of Love and Price, for example, than Aeneas Williams. But Williams did show that he can be not just a blood, you know, like people are saying, they'd like to see more of Williams than Ford. He has definitely brought a more dynamic quality just in terms of being able to make plays, you know, whether it's as a pass catcher or even running the ball than Ford was before him when we were seeing more of Ford, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. He's fresher legs, younger legs, more explosive legs, and someone who's a freshman. So honestly, it's kind of like a stock, right? The more you pay into him while he's young, the more that you're going to yield out of him throughout his Notre Dame career. So I love it for that aspect, right? Like Ford's done after this season. He's kind of – someone just made the joke, you know, that Ford's got a flat. I mean, kind of, right? Like compared to a guy coming out of high school that's just – you know, chomping at the bit, revved up, got fresh legs, fresh speed, all that stuff. It's like, I think it naturally makes sense. I think you have someone like Ford as kind of like a security blanket if that freshman doesn't come along or, you know, progress the way you want him to. But when they do, it's just, you know, you got to kind of step aside as the old guy or the vet and really understand what's going to help, you know, the team now and long-term as well.
Important to remember they'll get Jabron Payne back next year as well. Yeah, he's been out all year. So Ford will be gone. You'll get Payne back. And like another, obviously he had that kind of short yardage goal line was that guy last year. So, you know, probably some redefining of the roles once again. It's going to be interesting, Brent. He asked if Jadarian Price will enter the draft.
It's a deep running back draft. That's the issue.
It's a deep draft. And the biggest thing for him is he, you know, again, like, I don't think that scouts who are paying attention, they're not going, you know, again, you know, like when we talk about stats are for losers or whatever, you know, like if all you're going to do is look at Jadarian Price's line, you know, stat line and go, well, yeah, look at, he only ended up with, you know, 500 yards or, you know, whatever, 600 yards, whatever it ends up being at the end of the season. Well, the guy's also averaging 7.3 yards per carry. He can also run through contact. He can also run past guys, you know, all those different things. And, you know, like you can tell that there's still quite a bit of spring in his legs, right? You know, so it goes far beyond that. It's going to be a matter of what they actually see on film for him. But at the same time, because he's not a lead guy, he's not going to be thought of quite the same as some of these other guys who will be drafted, you know, like, you know, look where Audric Estime ended up going in the draft last year. I'm still shocked that he ended up going as late.
Did you see that? I think he's going to be the Broncos starting running back next week.
Is he? Well, I knew he had some fumbling issues early in the season. And then, so hopefully he's kind of worked his way.
He got 15 carries last game. At the beginning of the season, injury, and then he fumbled like twice, I'm pretty sure. But yeah, last game he had like 15 carries, and I'm pretty sure I read something where he's going to be like officially, you know, RB1 on the depth chart this week.
Yeah. All right. Well, good for him. Good for him. But like the thing with Price and the decision, you know, he's already got an injury. He's already had an injury. This is the most that he has played, his most productive season that he has played so far. It is his third year, but there's also the NIL factor where, you know, like in the past, the decision was simply, do you stay in college and do you risk further injury or do you just go pro, get drafted where you get drafted and, you know, get the money as soon as you can? Well, obviously now there's an opportunity, you know, for some money by staying in school. So how much does that potentially weigh into the decision that Price is going to make?
I'd wager that he is going to be back next season.
You think so?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it would be great for Notre Dame if he is to have both of these guys back once again next year. Is that guy still working outside right now? Is that what's going on?
Just sitting by the window barking.
Henry the Ruffian guarding the house. Yes. All right, Jess. Do you have any whiteboard, by the way? Like, I almost forgot about the whiteboard. Are you gonna? Do you have something that you want to show us?
Yeah, let me pull this up. You get everything queued up, and I guess just kind of let me know when we're good.
Good to go. Do it.
There's a full screen option. There it is.
Actually, I'll go ahead and do this.
First of all, I'm going to go through this play, and then anyone in the chat who can tell me where it came from this weekend, I don't have anything cool to offer you, but you get bonus points. So the reason why I like this play, and this is the only whiteboard I have for today, but you can run kind of three concepts off of it. So I think it's kind of three whiteboards and one. How this play – first I'll go through – how this play was originally run this weekend. And then I'll go into, you know, making it kind of like Notre Dame specific or why I think this play could fit into what Notre Dame does. So this is, I'll just say, middle of the field. I didn't really set it up where it was and, you know, who, what side of the hash that stuff. But middle of the field, it's a 20 personnel, meaning two running backs and no tight ends. You have one running back split out to the right. You have two wide receivers split out to the left. So it's a 2-by-1 formation. And then you have your quarterback and shotgun. And then you have one running back split out or split off to the left. He's slightly in front of the quarterback. You have another running back split off to the right. And he is slightly behind the quarterback. And this is important.
So hold it. Isn't that 30 personnel then? If you've got three running backs?
Two running backs.
Okay, I thought you said one was split out and you had two running backs in the backfield.
No, sorry. I must have misspoke. 20 personnel, three wide receivers, two running backs, no tight ends.
Gotcha.
So what's going to happen on this play is pre-snap, this running back is going to basically motion out to the left. And why that's significant is because I have two circles here. One on the motion guy, and one on the corresponding linebacker. That linebacker follows him directly. So immediately what we know is you got man-to-man coverage. And then also what you know is as a quarterback, if you're looking at the box right now, you have five players in the box, right? And then now when you motion your running back out, that guy is vacating the box and he's vacating this right side of the field completely. So what's going to happen here is the quarterback is, you know, on the snap of the ball, this guy is motioning out to the left. This linebacker is flying out there following him. On the snap of the ball, the entire offensive line is going to block down to the left, block down to the left. This center is going to work up to this linebacker and try to wall him off. Left tackle is going to block down. And then left guard is now going to pull around. He's going to clean up this end man on the line of scrimmage, right? And so that linebacker, let's just move. Actually, for sake of kind of visuals, let's move this linebacker out of the picture. He's now here, and this running back is now over here. So if you're the quarterback on the snap of the ball, you got five players in the box. You got your left guard pulling to the right side to basically where that linebacker was. There's a wide open hole in the middle of the defense right now. So what happens? Quarterback is going to take this snap. He's going to kind of look to the left here to fake that to that running back going to the left. And then all that's going to happen is this running back is just going to be a lead blocker for him here outside on the edge. There's just a simple QB counter kind of power look, right? Because that running back is lead blocking for you. All he's got to do is wall off this safety, this corner and wide receiver ultimately going to take care of each other. So again, the running back here, quarterback here is going to go completely untouched and go for a 72-yard touchdown, and that was the Jalen Milroe run against LSU this past weekend. So, again, the thing that makes this play to me so intriguing is you come out in the backfield and immediately, what do you have? You have Jeremiah Love, Riley Leonard, and Jadarian Price. That's like what, close to 1,500 to 1,800 rushing yards just sitting in the backfield right now, right? And so immediately you're putting the pressure on the defense by having these three guys on the field. And then again, when you notice a light box and now you've motioned this guy out, I mean, it's basically a completely empty box with a lead runner. So that's the first concept I saw. And again, this works because Riley Leonard can run the ball. He might not be as fast as Jalen Milroe, but I'd be willing to bet he would probably score a touchdown on this play as well.
He's still pretty fast. He's fast enough.
Right. He's fast enough to get the job done, right? So that's kind of look one out of, you know, this coming out in this, I guess, you know, 20 personnel, two running backs, three wide receivers. And kind of going off of the discussion that we just had, I feel like Notre Dame is really good about placing their running backs in the best or most advantageous situation, right? So if you're an offensive coordinator and this is kind of the base play that you're running out of this, right? Well, say maybe you come out and instead of this running or this linebacker showing that he's in man-to-man and following, what if they run some sort of zone concept where maybe this linebacker kicks out a little bit, this linebacker is going to kick out a little bit this way, but Riley Leonard's not getting that man-to-man look that he so desires, right? All right, well, I'm going to still send this guy in motion, and I would make this guy Jeremiah Love. And so maybe they show zone. Well, in zone, you know that someone's got to probably cover this flat area, right? It's either going to be this linebacker or maybe this DB. Potentially this DB. But, again, even if you're in zone, snap of the ball, and this is Jeremiah Love, well, now at least I've got a screen pass over here, right? I can just send Jeremiah Love in motion. Maybe I'm not getting the look I want. Now I can just flick this thing out to Jeremiah Love. He'll probably get at least 5 yards, and it's a simple kind of, all right, I got the ball out of my hand. We're picking up positive yards, right? Okay, that's option one. Say on the motion, you still don't like what you're seeing over there, and you're still not very comfortable about what these linebackers are doing, okay? Well, now this is big physical Jadarian Price who can beat you up between the tackles, but you better not let him get to the second level because he can also take off and break away for one of those big touchdowns. So if I'm Riley Leonard, okay, I send this running back Jeremiah Love in motion. He's not available. What's my next look? All right, my next look is, well, why don't I just hand this thing off to Jadarian Price and he can get behind my guard and we can just run, you know, a simple counter scheme, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, maybe you fake the handoff, and now it's just straight QB, you know, counter power. So, again, there's three plays that come off of this one play. It's kind of, you know, I've said this before, when you have a running quarterback, it's the modern triple option, right? He can either pass this thing out to Jeremiah Love on the swing and work in this kind of, you know, open flat area if he's not getting the man-to-man look with these linebackers. He can hand it off to Jadarian Price, and then – you know, last but not least, say he doesn't like any of that. He can just keep it himself, get behind his pulling left guard, get behind his big physical running back, and now he's running for a 72-yard touchdown. So the reason why I like this play is because it suits all three of Notre Dame's best players on offense in one play, and they're all in the backfield. And so if you're a defense on this play, who are you keying? Who are you looking at? I don't know, the guy that's got, you know, 10 touchdowns and close to 600 rushing yards, or the quarterback who's got like 12 touchdowns and 700 rushing yards, or the guy who's got the most breakaway touchdowns on the team. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's pick your poison at that point. And so that's why I would love Notre Dame to get into more two-back personnel. Maybe they will, you know, maybe that's something they're saving for, you know, this later stretch of the season. But again, finding a way to get your three best players on the field and then giving them all an option in one play, I think is pretty cool.
I love it. Love it. Everyone's been begging for more, you know, either 21 or, you know, what a 20 personnel, whatever it happens to be. Everyone's been wanting to see more two backs, and we see little flashes of it. And it's just tantalizing. It just tantalizes us, is all it does. But you're absolutely right. When you've got those three guys, I mean, that's obviously the strength of your team. And not to mention the fact that just by having those three guys on the field can also open up things in the passing game.
Something's got to be open. When all three guys on the field, one look has to be open at the end of the day, right?
And so, yeah, exactly.
One of those looks has to be open. And another thing I think is great about that is it makes the decision really easy for Riley Leonard. He doesn't have to think very much. It's either, okay, I'm getting this thing out immediately to Jeremiah Love, or we're just handing this thing off, or I'm keeping it and following everyone. Like, those are split-second decisions where he's not sitting back there, you know, reading the defense, seeing what he's got type situation. It's all handled pre-snap. And again, if your offensive coordinator doesn't run motion, it's like setting yourself back, essentially. You are doing yourself a disservice, especially at the college level, by not incorporating some sort of motion just about every play. And like last year, you remember when we did that? I think I did a whole breakdown on how much Jared Parker was motioning versus not motioning. And they got absolutely throttled in that Louisville game and did like no motion, did nothing to help themselves. And then all of a sudden, next week, you see a spike in motion that goes up like 60%. It's like, oh, I wonder why. Like, that stuff really helps. And even though it might seem simple, pre-snap, it helps your quarterback out so much.
True. Very true. All right, great stuff on the whiteboard as always, Jess. I think that you whetted the appetite and made a lot of people happy with your whiteboard once again. You know, they had to go some time. They were jonesing for some whiteboard.